It was a beautiful, sunny afternoon, and my wife, Stephanie, said, "Hey, John, I'm making a Walmart run. Do you need anything?" I thought for a second. I was like, "Yeah, actually, I do. I need a new golf glove, left-handed, size medium." She said, "All right, got it." She leaves, goes to Walmart, gets a few items, comes back, and she hands me my golf glove. I was excited. I took it out, and it's a golf glove, left-handed, size medium, junior, medium. It's like, "Seriously, Steph? Seriously, God, you know how demeaning this is, right? This is like ridiculous. It's like, there's no way that I could fit into this little mini glove." What happened was a complete failure to communicate. Now, Stephanie, although you got me an ill-sized fitting glove, I got you an oversized diamond ring. No. There we go. All right. Communication happens best when spoken clearly and in love. Communication happens best when spoken clearly and in love. Now, a silly little mistake, breakdown in communication over a golf glove is one thing. But we fight over other things, don't we? And sometimes it's the little things that snowball into big things. Sometimes it's things that happen, it sets us off, but because we haven't resolved conflict from other things, and then it just explodes. And today we're going to talk about communication because healthy communication is crucial for a healthy marriage. If you want a strong marriage, you need to have good communication. And it's something that we don't ever really perfect, but we always need to try to develop and improve in how we talk to each other. I've seen the best of couples get into trouble just because they lose respect and they stop talking to each other in love. They stop talking to each other clearly. They don't communicate well. So imagine if this was an area that you worked on in your relationship, how much better your marriage can be. Oftentimes the root of it, like we said at the beginning of the series, it's unselfishness. It's selfishness. And when we're selfish, when we communicate, instead of being unselfish and loving, and speaking clearly, we can get off track. And when marriages get off track, it's like the dysfunction and the problems just continue to escalate. We stop talking to each other and we start yelling. And words come out of our mouth that we regret. Words that can be forgiven, but sometimes never forgotten, and they do great damage. We must be intentional about the words that we say. You know, I love the Psalm 19, verse 14 that says, "Let the words out of our mouth and the meditations of our heart be acceptable to you, Lord, my strength, my redeemer." And so what if the thoughts that you think about in your heart, you guard your heart because it flows all the issues of life. Out of your heart, your words are spoken. That's what Jesus says. And so what if you really think of your words that you give to your spouse, especially during the difficult times or when you're lonely or you're tired or you're going through a suffering moment? It's easy to just say some things, and that's when it can get us into trouble. So I want to invite you today to turn with me in the Bible to 1 Peter chapter 5. That's in the New Testament. 1 Peter chapter 5. Several months ago, I was reading the Bible, my devotions, and the Holy Spirit used this single verse to really minister to me. And when I looked at this verse and I memorized it and I meditated on it, I found that it was a treasure chest of valuable jewels. And there were four ways that God ministers to us that when I did a word study and I began to memorize and meditate, wow, it encouraged my soul. It really ministered to me. So I thought, what better way when I was studying for this message on how we can communicate to each other, how we can talk to each other, like the Holy Spirit reminded me of this verse. And so I'm sharing with you because the Lord did it in me. And what better way to communicate and minister to our spouses than the way that Christ ministers to us, right? And so let's look at the gold standard. Let's look at the character and nature of the Lord. Let's look at the way he ministers to us so we can minister to each other and communicate clearly and in love. 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 10, it says, "But may the God of all grace, who called us to his eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after you have suffered a while, perfect, establish, strengthen, and settle you. Can we all read out loud this verse again? Will you join me in reading this verse? Let's just speak it out loud. Let's by faith speak it, all right? But may the Lord of all grace, who called us to his eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after you have suffered a while, perfect, establish, strengthen, and settle you. Dear Father, thank you for your word. Thank you for your grace. Thank you for the way that you minister us when we're down, when we face trials, when we go through a storm. You are not silent, but rather, Father, you are active in how you minister to us and how you replenish us and bring words of healing and strength. So I pray as we are in your presence and we have gathered together to worship you, Jesus, to lift up your holy name and we elevate your holy word. And I pray that as we allow and we give permission, O Lord, for your words to sink deep into our hearts and our spirits, that we would not just be hearers of your word, but we would be doers of your word. Help us to be responsible for what we discover and learn from your word today. I pray that you would use it to strengthen our lives, whether we're married or not. We may be in great need right now and need the ministry of this word and your spirit to us. But help us also, Lord, to know how to minister and communicate to each other. In Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. Amen. We look at this verse, but may the grace of God through the eternity, which is in Jesus Christ, he says that, did you notice the context of the ministry of strengthening, establishing, and perfecting, and settling? What was the context of this? It says, notice it says, after you have suffered for a while, after you've gone through a little bit of a trial, a storm. So that's the context to this verse. And so think about it. All of us in life, we'll face a trial from time to time, right? We'll face a trial in our marriage. We'll face a trial in our personal lives, whether it be physically, financially, at work. We'll face a problem. And it's oftentimes during those trials that we're more susceptible to give in to the thoughts of the enemy or to be discouraged and get down. But this also can be a great opportunity when our spouse is going through a trial, when he or she is suffering, that we can be there and be sensitive to the Holy Spirit through our prayer times and then ask the Lord, go, you want to minister to my spouse. Lord, I want to join you in your ministry. Because oftentimes Jesus is the head, right? But he ministers through the body oftentimes. How many of you have ever had someone come into your life and say, I've been praying for you, they've encouraged you, and you were so grateful for how the Lord sent almost a messenger to you. Like we're all grateful for those friends, right? But do you see there's no greater way that we could really minister and communicate to our spouse than when we're sensitive and we get alone with the Lord and in silence and say, Father, I don't want to just say something out of my limited experience or what I think it should be said, but I want to quiet my soul and I want to allow you, maybe through your scripture or Lord, give me a word that I can strengthen, I can settle, I can encourage my spouse with. And during your times of silence, the Lord will often give you a word. He will give you the burden and he'll give you the love to be able to communicate wisely to your spouse. Because here's the reality. When we go through a trial, when we're suffering, that's the blip on the radar screen. And no one forgets who was there when you're suffering, right? And so as a spouse, we need to be sensitive to that time. We don't need to just go, oh, I don't want to be around this. I'm going to keep it at arm's distance. Or say something that's just insensitive. Like you just need to get over it. Or you know, we need to be loving and gentle with our spouse, especially during these difficult times. And so notice that suffering is really a great, in the New Testament, from the Gospels to the Epistles, and even in Revelation, suffering and trials, although very difficult, oftentimes can be redeemed to something very beautiful. And the Lord uses that to build our character, to grow us, to develop us. And he will use any trials that you have in your marriage, if you persevere and you don't give up, he will use that to bring a bigger strength. He'll use that to bring more character and maturity to your relationship. And so let's look at each one of these. May God perfect, establish, strengthen, and settle you. And I see each one of these words as a really a, a jewel, a very valuable jewel. And so the first word is to perfect. I want you to think of this word as a diamond ring, all right? Think of it as this jewel that is very, very valuable, because the Greek word for perfect is katartio, which literally means to complete thoroughly, to repair, to adjust. It's a word that doctors would use when they would set right a limb that was dislocated. It's the exact word used when fishermen and brothers James and John were mending their nets, perfecting their nets when Jesus called them to be fishers of men. And so it's this word that brings healing, it repairs, it's this word that helps to bring into completeness, to bring whole. And that's the way the Lord wants to, he says, be perfect as I am perfect. In other words, he's saying, when you were created, like when you were in your mother's womb, we know the scripture says that you knitted me, right? There was a start of life. And over our life here on earth, we don't just come out of the womb perfect, right? All of us have been like sheep who have gone astray. We've all sinned. We know that. But the Lord, through humbly submitting ourselves to his lordship, he develops it. He carves out the character to make it more like him. It's like each one of us are like a sculpture. And over time, he sculpts us until we get to heaven and we are perfect. But there's this process that he wants to do in our life, and that we can join him in his ministry to our spouse during these difficult times. So we need to listen. Go, Lord, how can we bring words that would repair and discern what you want us to do with our words and how we express love for each other and demonstrate love? How many of you have ever read the book or you've heard about the concept of the five love languages? Anybody ever heard of that? All right, keep your hand raised if you know what your love language is. All right, raise your hand if you know what your spouse's love language is. All right, not as many of you. So let me break it down, because this is so important. Each one of us will communicate, demonstrate love, and then we have a way of receiving that love. We have a primary love language and a secondary love language. And so here's the five love languages. First, it's words of affirmation. Second, gifts. Second, quality time, acts of service, and then affection, all right? Affection. And so each one of these are ways that we would prefer to be loved, and oftentimes we demonstrate that love as well. So I know you raised your hand, but if you are a person, your primary love language is words of affirmation, will you stand up? This will be good for your spouse who may not know what your love language is. All right, these individuals, they love to read cards, and not just the cards that were bought and you just sign your name. They want to have like a big paragraph of words, and they will hold on to notes, and their tanks are filled when you honor them and you bless them with your words, okay? So thank you. You can go ahead and be seated. Stand up if it's acts of service. Acts of service. These are individuals who like to serve with their hands. They like to meet needs. It comes very naturally, but they also like to be served as well. I mean, this is how they love. Thank you. You can go ahead and be seated. All right, everyone who's affection, stand up. Affection. Come on. I think my wife is affection. Go ahead. There you go. All right, these are people like, man, they love it when you hold their hand. They love it when they were waiting for that kiss cam to come on them. They're ready. They're ready. So they like to hug, and these ladies, man, if you didn't give them their foot massage with the lotion a few weeks ago, then that was a withdrawal if you didn't do that. All right, you can go ahead and sit down. How about quality time? Anybody, stand up if you're quality time. Good. These are people that, man, you don't have to say a whole lot, but man, let's just sit together in a coffee shop together. And let's just be together and just a big block of time. And this would fill their tank and they'll fill up. All right, go ahead and sit down. And there's one more, right? Gifts. All right, yeah, everyone whose primary love language, you like to receive gifts. Flowers. Senior Ramos, you got two of them. Like, she just loves you in all these ways and you're confused on it. But all right. So flowers, gifts, this is a way to demonstrate your love. So thank you so much. It's important. Here's the thing. What our primary love language is often what we do, but that would be immature. We need to know who our children, our spouse, know what their primary, secondary love language is, and then love them that way. That is the key to demonstrating love and communicating clearly in love. So when they're down, maybe your wife had the flu, whatever the love language is, like if it's words of affirmation, hey, this is a way that you can encourage them and pray over them. Or if it's acts of service, hey, I'm going to go to the grocery store and I'm going to get some things. What can help you? Or I'm going to call our small group. They're going to set up a meal train this week. So this is how we love each other according to our love language. Now, if it's words of affirmation, we need to be very, very careful, okay? Like, words of affirmation are important for everybody, how we communicate with our words. Because it's easy during a trial or a difficult time to say things out of frustration or not say anything at all, and we miss an opportunity. But it's important that not just what you say, but how you say it. Tone can be everything. And so does your spouse hear the love in your voice when you communicate? Proverbs chapter 15, verse 1 says, "A soft answer turns away wrath, but a harsh word stirs up anger." So it's important to allow our words to bring healing, to bring perfection. Say, Lord, give me the words as I pray that Lord will give you and reveal to you his will. Reveal words and reveal ways that you can bring to perfection and mend and bring wholeness and completion to your spouse. So that's the first way that the Lord would minister and communicate. The second word that we're going to focus on is to establish. Imagine establish being the emerald jewel. Very, very, very valuable. That the establish word, it means to make stable, to turn resolutely in a certain direction. It was the word that Jesus, when he turned his face towards Jerusalem near the end of his ministry, he knew that the cross was before him, a great hour of suffering and trial, but he was established in his convictions and what God purposed in his heart, the reason why he came to this earth. And so there was an establishment there. There was not a wavering. There was no doubting. There was no fear. There was an establishment. I love in Romans 1:11, it says, "For I long to see you, that I may impart to you some spiritual gift so that you may be established." We should be in our own devotional time praying and praying for our spouse. That when we're praying for our spouse, we're not just asking God to check off a list or grant requests and desires from our own heart, but rather we say, "Lord, how do you want to minister to my spouse? How can I be available to you?" And almost think of it like in this verse, that I would long to see you next, that I might impart a spiritual gift, a word from the Lord, or a scripture, or a way that I can express love. And in doing so, it will establish. It will make stable. It will bring a certain resolute direction. And that's what we desire, right? Like, they need to be established. Think of an oak tree in a storm. It's the young sapling of an oak tree that may not last the storm. But if an oak tree is matured, if it is established, if its old gnarly roots have gone down really deep, you might as well pull off the side of a mountain before you get that oak tree out. And it's the same way with your marriage. May you be established, and maybe you establish each other and ground each other in the Word of God. Because it's a time of suffering and that time of trial where it's easy to be susceptible to temptation from our own flesh. It's easy to conform to the ways of the world, right? To look for relief or help from the world or given unto attack of the enemy, because you have an enemy and the battlefield is the mind. And when you're hurting and suffering and going through the trial, oftentimes the enemy will distort truth or spin truth just enough so you will believe the lie. Jesus says he's the father of lies. And so he will give a lie to discourage you, to neutralize you in your faith. And you need to be aware when your spouse is going through a difficult time, that's what can be happening. And so you pray and you begin to pray fervently to the Lord and say, "Lord, I pray that you would help me, that I can bring words that will establish my spouse, that will strengthen her, that will equip her, that will encourage her." Same way, ladies, you do the same thing to him, that you would bring words that would establish in their hearts. And so maybe you pray and the Lord reveals to you and say, "Hey, every morning this week while you're going through this trial, we're going to armor up. We're going to read Ephesians chapter 5, and we're going to learn how to be strong and courageous in God's word. And we're going to armor up together. We're going to have a shields up moment because the enemy's trying to come in and divide us. Because the reality is, if the enemy can divide your marriage, he can divide your family. And if he wrecks your marriage, it's crazy how he can wreck us in other areas of our life, right? So a healthy marriage is so important that you would be established. It's not going to happen just naively or with good intentions. The Lord has given you armor. He's given you weapons, but it's up to you to armor up. It's up to you to use the weapons he's given you. If you really want to have a strong, established marriage, it's up to you. And so you bring your spouse together and say, hey, I know the enemy's trying to say you're going through a trial. The enemy's trying to speak that you are weak, but I want you to know you are not weak. You are a strong man of God. You are a strong woman of God. So let's together put on that helmet of salvation that we know we are saved. We are bought by the blood of Jesus Christ. We're redeemed. You don't have to fear anything. The Lord has called you by name, that although you may go through the waters, he's with you. The rivers, you're not going to drown. You may go through the fires, but you won't be burned because the Lord is with you. He will never leave you nor forsake you. You can persevere. You don't have to give up. He's promised a reward. And you hold on to those words that bring safety and salvation. Then you put that breastplate of righteousness on and say, honey, together, God's given us a breastplate of righteousness. It's a righteousness of Christ. And through our right living, we're going to have protection. The Lord's going to give us peace. He's going to give us the sandals of peace that will guard our hearts and our minds. You're going to have that belt of truth. Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. And the word of God is truth, right? When the enemy tries to speak lies, we hold it up against God's standard and say, no, we're not going to believe the lies. We're not going to be tempted and be discouraged or doubt, but we're going to hold up God's truth and anchor ourselves to the truth found in the word of God. And when you do that and apply it and you're consistent, you watch how established you'll be. You take up that big shield of faith. It's not a little shield. It's big as a doorway. And it's a huge shield that will extinguish any dart or arrow of the enemy. And you just imagine clink, clink, every time that arrow and that temptation and that worry and that dart, you hold up that shield, and by faith, we're not going to listen to the enemy. By faith, we're not going to give in to divorce like other people in our family, because we're established. And what God has put together, no man can put asunder, because we're going to be established together, and we're going to hold up the weapon given to us, the word of God, the sword of the Spirit, and we're going to use the word of God. We're going to memorize it. We're going to pray the word of God. We're going to speak it over our marriage by faith. And you watch what happens. You watch how your relationship and your marriage becomes established and rooted in a strength. And that's really the next word. The next word is to strengthen. And I want you to think of the word strengthen like a sapphire, another valuable jewel to strengthen. And this one's probably more obvious on what it means. It means to make strong, to strengthen, not just the body, but the soul and the mind, the emotions. So, think of a football player. Would a football player be any good if he was weak? Would a soldier be effective if there was no fight in him? And so if spouses, it takes two, right? To both be strong, because if any are weak, then the marriage is going to be weak. So how can we strengthen each other? How can we can allow the Lord to bring strength into our marriage? I love that over and over we see through the Gospels that Jesus, he cares for those who are weak. He ministers to those who are going through a difficult time, not just physical healing, but delivers from strongholds. Over and over, he would help those who are weak. Why did he do this? This was his mission, to seek and save the lost. When he stood in the synagogue, he read from Isaiah, and he said, today this scripture is being fulfilled. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because the Lord has anointed me to preach good tidings to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and the opening of the prison to those who are bound. May the Lord anoint you for this kind of ministry. The Lord wants to anoint you. You are a royal priesthood. All authority from heaven has been given to Christ, and he extends that to you. So you are empowered to bring words of strength to each other. I love Colossians 1:11. It says, strengthen with all might according to his glorious power for all patience and long-suffering and with joy. The seeds of your suffering, if you don't give up, will come fruit of strength. Trust the Lord in that. Believe in God in that. Then finally, the last word is to settle. To settle. Think of the word settle as an amber. Again, a very valuable jewel. And what the word settle literally means is to lay a foundation. To lay a foundation. I am so grateful for my parents, Randy and Catherine Van Pay. To me, that is the model of a healthy marriage. And whenever I've been tempted, and there's been times where I've made a mess of things, or I've said things or done things, I look to my mom and dad, and I look to how they relate to each other, and I have memories and visions of how they just want each other's heart, and there's just so, do you realize that you have an opportunity to lay the foundation for your children and how they will relate and love each other in their future marriage? Not just your children, but your children's children. Those of you who are grandparents, like, still, your ministry is not over. You have a wonderful opportunity to model and be a gift because you are laying a foundation. The way that they will relate to each other will often be dictated by what they see around the house. How do you talk to each other? If you're oftentimes caught raising your voices and losing self-control in your anger, it might be a good time to have a family meeting and say, hey, mom and dad haven't always done the good in this area, and we want to confess to you and to each other how sorry we are. We're repenting, and we're going to make some changes by the grace and help of God. We're not going to hold on to the former things. It's in the past, covered by the blood. Love keeps no record of wrong. We're going to move forward. And you watch how the Lord settles this in your spirit. Jesus tells us we have a choice, don't we? Matthew 7. How are you going to build your house? How are you going to build your marriage and your own life? You have two choices. Either you're going to build on the sand or the rock. The sand isn't much of a foundation, is it? Like, when the storm comes and a house is built on the sand, what is the sand? Well, the sand is any kind of foundation other than Jesus Christ and the Word of God. So if financial security is what you treasure more than anything else, man, when you lose your job and those finances are gone, what's going to happen to that marriage? What's going to happen to that family? What's going to happen to that house? It's going to fall apart. And so this is your opportunity to say, Lord, please allow your word. Please allow the faith that we have in you and our relationship with you to be the foundation for my marriage, for our family, for my life. And you allow that to be the foundation, because here's the reality. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. The word of God does not change. And whatever you allow to be a conviction and allow to be the foundation for your life, you're going to be okay when the storms come, and they'll come. You're going to be able to weather it. Why? Because you're going to go back to the Word of God. You're going to go back to His promises. You're going to go back to a dependence upon His grace, His mercy in that time of need, and the Lord will be there. He will never leave you nor forsake you. He loves you. And so here's your practical challenge. Every single one of us, whether you're married or not, these are principles that will work in any friendship or relationship. But specifically for your spouses, I ask that you would memorize 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 10. Let these four ways, just the way that the Lord ministered, be the way that you communicate and minister to your spouse: to perfect, to establish, to strengthen, to settle. To perfect, to establish, to strengthen, to settle. Repeat it. Memorize it. Let it be the meditation of your heart. Let it be the words out of your mouth, that I'm going to give words that are life-giving. I'm going to give words that are love. I'm going to give words that are clear. And I'm going to demonstrate and communicate my love in ways that build up my spouse. And here's the thing with this. It doesn't happen just overnight, right? But when you make it intentional that I'm going to say words that strengthen, that encourage, that settle, and I'm going to do this day after day. Every day I'm going to be intentional with this. Every day I'm going to pray and allow the Holy Spirit. What's going to happen? Days turn into weeks. Weeks turn into months. Months turn into years. And after time, you have a strong, healthy marriage.